And welcome once again to Capital Watch, where we keep an eye on what's happening under the Capitol Dome in Harrisburg for you. I'm your host, David Taylor, President and CEO of the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association. With me in the studio, my main man, Steve Bloom, Vice President of the Commonwealth Foundation. Steve, great to be with you.
David, it's great to be here.
Well, and we have a really special occasion because in the studio with us, we have Matt Briette, President and CEO of Commonwealth Partners Chamber of Entrepreneurs. Matt, thanks for being on a show.
Hey, good to be with you. You sent me on a sabbatical for, and it ended up being years, but it is great to be back with you, David.
You're always welcome with us.
I know. I appreciate it.
And you've got big news to announce here in just a little while, but before we get to that, there was something that you shared recently that really caught my attention. It was a column by our friend, the political analyst and consultant, Chris Nicholas. And talking about the Governor Josh Shapiro and his taxpayer-funded Department of Self-Promotion, and that sort of buried in that article you brought to the lead, that it's not only, I think, scandalous that you have 21 people working in the governor's PR campaign, but that actually when you stack that up with other institutions of state government, offices that do important stuff, they don't have as many people as that.
Let's even take a step back, David, because you go back to Tom Corbett. He had three people in that office.
Wow.
And then Tom Wolf increased it fourfold, but only still had less than a dozen.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're talking about nearly two dozen people that are simply there to promote Josh Shapiro, before we even came on the air, you talked about this. He's not talking about these policy changes or things that state government is doing. It's just really self-promotion, talking about what a wonderful guy is or who he's hung out. I mean, their TikTok videos, their Instagram, it's all on the social media, and it's all fluff, no substance.
Right.
You know, and Chris Nicholas, I think he nailed it even as the title of his article was, Shapiro's brand is high gloss and high cost.
Mm-hmm.
Because they really have painted a picture of really a savvy politician who, frankly, it's why his favorables are so high. When you're spending millions of taxpayer dollars in promoting yourself, it's no surprise that the polling there shows that people are buying it.
Well, but this, I'll turn here to Steve, who continues his long recovery from being a politician. But, you know, Steve, when you were in the House, like you served with people and you saw a lot of the fallout from this. But there were legislative leaders who were arrested, convicted, went to jail for using taxpayer-funded offices and services for political purposes.
At the time I was serving my first term in the Pennsylvania State Legislature, the former Speaker of the House of both parties were sharing a prison cell at Camp Hill SCI. That's the environment I entered into as a freshman legislator. The two top people in the House, one Republican, one Democrat, both in jail, both in the same cell. They didn't serve their entire sentences together like that, but for a good part, they were together.
And that's
the kind of atmosphere we're dealing with in Pennsylvania. It's a rough and tumble place. It's a state where we have a long history of corruption and just self-dealing and all those things that drive the public anger. But somehow the current governor seems to be trying to transcend all that while still using the force of a large staff to get a mission to get words out there that otherwise wouldn't be.
Yeah, I mean, and so the offenses that those lawmakers were jailed for, that on the one hand, that there was an office of staffers doing political work, and so you had the overhead and the salaries and all that going for political purposes, and in the other case, it was taxpayer-funded equipment and databases that were supposed to be for governmental purposes but were also being used for political purposes. Yeah. And again, I guess it's just partly the success of the PR operation. And I think also the dormant nature of state and local media
and personnel,
in Pennsylvania.
Personnel is policy, too.
Yes.
When you appoint 21 people to the office that talks about how great you are, then that's what you're going to get.
Yeah.
You're going to have a whole bunch of people talking about that, and
and he's the cool dad, and he's got a good jump shot, and he eats Uncrustables and all this other nonsense, whereas that office is supposed to be imparting to the public and members of the media in particular where the governor is, what he's doing, where he stands on these issues. Well, in fact, it's kind of the inverse because the governor is never asked hard questions. Like he's made a whole career out of coasting past hard questions. Kermit Gosnell, the abortionist, just died in prison. And has anybody asked him, the governor, about this infamous figure has passed away? What do you have to say about this person and his legacy? It's like it's unthinkable that he would be posed with a question like that.
Well, but I think that the what we're seeing is sort of with social media, really has changed since even when those former speakers of the House were in prison. And it's utilized in a way that isn't substantive. But it would be the same as if, like, Steve, you remember when you were in office, you would have a newsletter that would go to constituents that would share information that you have this or the, here's how you access
and strictly a informational in tone.
Right. But it's, it'd right. be
here's
the equivalent.
Here's when the senior seminar is taking place, and here are the things for how veterans can access their benefits and stuff like that.
But it'd be the equivalent of having in that newsletter just all puff pieces, like talking about your personal life and, like you said, jump shots and being at the brownies and all that. So it's really he's changed how he's using that office for what it used to be. And I think it's why Tom Corbett only needed four, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even
right.
Tom Wolf had half as many as Josh Shapiro because it was used for getting information out about the governor. Actually, not the governor, right? But about what was happening in the executive branch.
Correct.
Now it's just become about getting information about the governor.
Yeah.
Because
answering
he's
questions
in, yeah.
about things.
Yeah. Right.
That also seems to be missing from this equation.
Yes. So, and again, just talking about the dubious nature of how our public life is conducted, it sort of brings us to the theme of Matt's recent work. Matt, you have a book coming out.
Yeah, it's out as we are speaking right now. You Gotta Win Pennsylvania, A Call to Entrepreneurs to Save America. And I wrote this book over the last year with a lot of help from my team. It was fantastic. Look, Pennsylvania is the fifth largest state. We're the biggest swing state in the country. California and New York, solid blue.
Illinois.
Yep. Then
right
Illinois is after us, yes.
Yeah.
We actually used to be the sixth largest state until Illinois hemorrhaged enough people to Florida and elsewhere that Pennsylvania became the fifth largest state. But when you look at Texas and Florida, of course, they're solid red. And then there's Pennsylvania with our 19 electoral votes. The Democrats cannot win the White House without Pennsylvania. And they have recognized this for really the last decade. And Pennsylvania state elections have been flooded with national progressive money for election cycle after election cycle.
And not just statewide elections. We're talking here about the row offices, talking about the governor, talking about state legislative races.
We're talking going school down boards. To the state house race.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they've even done some local races. And so you've got George Soros, Michael Bloomberg, Mark Zuckerberg. I mean, you go through the who's who list of the left. They are funding things that are coming into Pennsylvania. Now, they have no idea where Johnstown, Pennsylvania is, but they put money into a pool and then they flooded Johnstown in 2024. We call it the Johnstown flood of 2024.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
$4 million came into that small little district in Johnstown, and the vast majority was from outside of Pennsylvania. And that's because the left understands if you can capture Pennsylvania, you can control the country. And so I wrote this book as a call to arms of rallying entrepreneurs to say, look, you got to win Pennsylvania, because if we lose Pennsylvania, we're going to lose America.
You're listening to Capital Watch. I'm your host, David Taylor from Pennsylvania Manufacturers. With me, Steve Bloom from Commonwealth Foundation, and our special guest, Matt Briette from Commonwealth Partners. So the call to arms is for essentially for members of the productive sector to recognize what's at stake and to mobilize in the same way that the forces of big government and high taxes and the bureaucrat unions and the litigation industry and the radical greens, the way that they have deployed to try to control the most pivotal swing state in the country.
Yeah, so my first career, I was a U.S. history teacher, and I loved talking about the founding of this country. And when I look at the men who founded this country, who, you know, signed that their lives their fortunes, their sacred honor. They were entrepreneurs in many senses. And I use that term entrepreneur broadly.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them were truly entrepreneurs in business, were doing very well under the crown. That time, the world's greatest superpower, England, right? Great Britain was powerful. Yet these entrepreneurs said, you know what? There's something better for us. And if we leave Great Britain, we can create something that, well, I don't think they had any idea what they were creating, right? But these entrepreneurs are the ones who founded and who built this great nation. And I believe that it will be entrepreneurs who save it. And when entrepreneurs step up to challenge those people that you, that long list of folks who want to use government for their own personal benefit and ends, it's going to be entrepreneurs who push back and challenge that. And so my book talks about the entrepreneurs in Pennsylvania that are stepping up to that challenge in the energy sector, in the education sector, people, entrepreneurs running for office themselves and saying, all right, we got to keep America, America, because while we're only 3, 4, 5% of the world's population, the other 95% plus depends on America being America.
Yes.
Because if America stops being America, you know, the level of generosity, the freedom, the prosperity that has grown here and then been given to others, that goes away. And that's because America is truly the greatest country that has ever existed. Entrepreneurs built it, and it's going to be entrepreneurs that save it.
Well, you mentioned in particular talking about the education sector, and that the Constitution of Pennsylvania calls for a thorough and effective course of public instruction for our young people. It doesn't wed us to any particular system of delivery, and yet we find ourselves essentially being held captive by a particular structure that delivers particular political benefits, but the educational benefits to our students are too often like really, really lacking. Could you just talk about how critical that element is in waging this fight?
It's so critical, David. And when you look at Pennsylvania, as noted, we have a large system of public education. It's augmented in many situations by opportunities for school choice. But there's powerful forces that are often trying to block the alternatives to students that currently attend a public school. So intentional barriers are placed to students who want to excel because they aren't getting a good education in the school that they are currently in, when there are awesome, wonderful opportunities for them to travel elsewhere, but they're blocked by people more powerful than themselves from reaching those resources.
And Matt, how does this fit into the story you're telling?
Yeah, no doubt. Well, look, school choice, educational opportunity has been a passion for me for more than 30 years. I mean, that's why I was a school teacher myself, recognizing the importance of education. And when I ran Commonwealth Foundation from 2002 to 2016, about midstream, I recognized that the strongest force that we faced on everything, every issue, not just education, but on business climate issues, on energy issues, were the public sector unions, and in particular, the teachers' unions. What you'll find in my book is that thread runs throughout, that these special interests that only profit when government grows, when it taxes more, it borrows more, and expands into more of our lives, that cancer in our system is what is harming kids, that's keeping kids from getting access to good schools. It's why we used to segregation. It was politicians and interests blocking black and brown kids from getting into school. Now it's politicians and special interests that are blocking black and brown kids from getting out of these schools. And it's that cancer of the teacher unions in particular and the public sector unions broadly that are really harming Pennsylvania kids, businesses, and frankly are the ones that are causing blue states to go down the tubes.
Yeah, and again, it's important for the public to understand we're not talking about individual teachers in classrooms. There are an awful lot of good people who are dedicated to their students, who are doing the best that they can. We're talking about a governing structure that forces those individual teachers to fork over part of their salaries to this political machine. They have no choice over whether or not that happens, and then what that machine uses those dollars for.
Well, most teachers are representative of the broader community. That, you know, you've got about 40% are Democrats, 40% Republicans, and then independents in between. Yet the teacher union spending is about 98% of partisan Democrats. And they're fueling many of the things that most people find abhorrent, whether it's pushing for boys to play in girls' sports. And you talk about rallies that are happening, whether it's the folks that are communist flags to foreign country flags. They are all supported by these public sector unions because they are pushing the boundaries of this progressive agenda, and they are the fuel for the left. And so when we look at what's happening politically and how that impacts public policy, that's why we finger the public sector unions as the number one opponent of everything that is really good, and they oppose good public policies and are the ones that stand against reform.
So what's the antidote? How do we turn the tide?
We turn the tide when entrepreneurs get engaged. If they sit on the sidelines, we will lose this battle, because it's only been entrepreneurs that I have seen able to counter the efforts of that cancer of the public sector unions, trial lawyers, the folks that are the takers in society. And we got to get the makers engaged, because when they get engaged, and we've seen it in Pennsylvania, we've seen it when entrepreneurs step up to the plate, that's how we're going to see the political and policy change that keeps America America and will make Pennsylvania great.
Put a pin in it. Just say, what are some of the specific remedies that we need? Like, where are the legislative victories, the mountains that we have to climb? What are the things that we need to start?
Well, I think from a policy standpoint, I think the first thing, and this I cover this in the book, is that unions have a financial and legal privilege that no other private organization enjoys. And that is the collection of political dollars at the expense of taxpayers. This even goes to what we were talking about early at the beginning of the show, mm-hmm. of how using taxpayer dollars for political purposes. Well, school districts, county governments, you name it. We have the government unions, which are private enterprises, mm-hmm. able to use the public payroll system to collect PAC dollars. These are just hard political action dollars that are then collected and sent to the union's bank. Mm-hmm. No other private organization. I say, look, the NRA couldn't do this. Planned Parenthood couldn't do it and say, hey, all your teachers are members of ours. Will you collect our money for us and send it to our political action committee? No. But they have this special legal and financial privilege no one else enjoys. We need to end that. Let's just have a level playing field so that manufacturers have to collect it themselves just like the public sector unions.
Yeah, and Matt, this goes to a point. I was testifying on this issue some years ago, and the Democrat chairman of the committee said that this is all just hype and politics, that there's no noble principle behind this. And I just took the fight right back to him and said, it is the most important principle, which is the neutrality of the government Yes. in conducting the public's business, that you don't get like, okay, because this particular interest or this particular person is of a specific political alignment, they don't have to follow the rules the way somebody else does. Like we're gonna bring the hammer down on this one and let that one skate. Like, no, the law is supposed to apply equally to everyone. That's one of the core presuppositions of our whole system of representative self-government, that we all have to obey the law. We all have to obey it equally, and that this is an instance where somehow the rules don't apply to all in the same way.
Yeah, we need that game-changing reform, just leveling of the playing field. It's not punishing anybody, but like you said, neutrality of government. And right now, we don't have that in Pennsylvania.
Well, goodness. Well, Matt, thank you and your team for putting together this masterwork. I've had a glimpse at it, and I got to say, I like what I saw. The title is You Gotta Win Pennsylvania. This is by my friend Matt Briette, and available on Amazon and other fine purveyors of books.
Or go to YouGottaWinPA.com. You can find out more there.
Outstanding. Well, that brings us down to the end of our time. Gentlemen, thanks so much. Steve, where can people go to learn more about you and your group and the work that you do?
Thanks, David. They can visit CommonwealthFoundation.org.
Okay. And Matt, you gave a URL, but give another one. Yes. Talk about your group.
Yeah. TheCommonwealthPartners.com is the organization I run, but YouGottaWinPA.com. You can find out more about this book.
Outstanding. And as ever, you can find me online at PAManufacturers.org. For Steve and Matt and me, thanks so much for listening, and we'll catch you next time on Capital Watch. And now, a town hall commentary by Loman Henry.